And we're going to be looking at Hebrews, a passage from Hebrews chapter 3. And it's, in a sense, it's a sermon based on Psalm 95, the first part of which Ben read at the beginning of our service. And the writer of the Hebrews is speaking to church people. The letter is to a church of Hebrew Christians and urging them to attend to Jesus Christ, to look to him as their hope. Don't look anywhere else, he was telling them, look to Christ. And this little section from Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 7 is an exhortation to hear his voice. So if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 7, let's hear God's word. Just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you should hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the provocation, as in the day of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested me. They proved me, and they saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was disgusted by that generation and said, they always go astray in heart. They do not know my ways, as I swore in my anger, if they should enter my rest. Watch out, brothers, lest ever there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in rebelling against the living God. But urge one another daily, while it is yet called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we had become sharers of Christ, if indeed we hold fast to the beginning of our confidence, firm to the end. While it is still said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, rebelled. But not all who came out of Egypt by Moses. And with whom was he disgusted 40 years? Was it not with those who provoked, whose bodies fell in the desert? To whom did he make an oath that they should not enter his rest? Was it not to those who did not believe? So we see that they were not able to enter due to unbelief. Let's pray. Father God, we have your word before us. We ask, Lord God, that you'll give us grace to hear you today, to hear the voice of Christ as he speaks to us by the scriptures. And we ask, Lord God, that by your Spirit you'll conform us to those words, that you'll change our hearts, that you'll draw us to yourself, and that we would know your rest, that we would know peace with you through our Lord Jesus Christ, and be assured of these things, and be given strength for each day in the difficulties of life, knowing that we have a God who saves. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The writer of the Hebrews is telling us that through Psalm 95, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, God himself, through this psalm. And the writer of the Hebrews used the psalms a lot in his letter to urge church people to look to Jesus Christ as their only hope. In the first chapter of this book of Hebrews, many psalms were used to point people to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is Almighty God. In the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, the writer shows us from Psalm 8 that this Almighty God became a human being for our salvation. That God was in Christ, as it were, reconciling us to himself Later in this book of Hebrews, in chapter 7, the writer takes Psalm 110 and tells us that our Lord Jesus is a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. I like that word, Melchizedek. It was that fellow who met Abraham way back in Genesis. And this one had no genealogy, no beginning and no end, was tithed to. Abraham paid Melchizedek a tenth of all that he had. And of course, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and the greater blessed the lesser. So the writer of the Hebrews says, here we have it in Psalm 110, a foreshadowing of Christ, that great one who blesses us. But in Psalm 3, he's just come off chapter 2, speaking about how Christ became a human being to save us from our sin, and then speaking about how Christ is greater than Moses. And then to church people, he throws in this warning and quotes at length Psalm 95, saying, today, if you should hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As in the provocation, as in the trial in the desert where your fathers tested me. They proved me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was disgusted with that generation, and I said in my anger, if they should enter my rest. It's a solemn warning to church people who were in danger of abandoning Christ for something else. And the psalm, and again, the writer of the Hebrews uses the psalm, and he says, today. And this todayness is a really interesting thing in the Bible, because this today seems to be every day and any day that you hear the voice of Christ speaking in the scriptures. That day, we must hear his voice. We must not harden our hearts. We must hear Christ speaking to us and calling us to himself. And this idea of today is perhaps best understood this way, that God's mercy is being offered every day, but really, as human beings, we can only say that we have today. We do not know what tomorrow might bring. As we were coming here this morning, we were told of a death of a man that we'd seen many days before, but he died during the week. We have today. We do not know the day of our death, but we do know that today we are hearing the voice of Christ in the scriptures calling us to himself. So let us take today to hear him. And again, the question might be, whose voice? I've already let the cat out of the bag there, but I'll talk about it anyway. Because you see, the Son of God is called the Word in John 1:1. The Word by which God created the worlds. The Word by which he speaks to us and brings light to us. This is the Son of God. And he is the one who brings us rest. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we have the Word calling us to himself that we might have rest. And there's this extraordinary passage in John 5. He says, truly I say to you, the time is coming, and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who hear shall live. I don't believe this is merely talking about the resurrection in the last day. But when Christ speaks, he brings people dead in their trespasses and sins to life. He brings them to life and brings them to himself by speaking through his word to sinners. So we have today. We are hearing his voice. So the danger that the author is warning us against is hardening our hearts. That is the resisting of those words of grace from God, of thinking in our hearts that we can do better without Christ, thinking in our hearts that we can find a better solution to our sin problem than Christ. Or it could be that we say, I am not a sinner. How dare you say that I've offended anyone? That's also a form of heart hardening that is present in human beings. The provocation that the writer is particularly referring to is the church of God in the desert after Moses brought them out of Egyptian slavery and was leading them through the Sinai desert to the land that God had promised their forefathers. The people who were the church were largely unbelieving and they were hardening their hearts against the God who is the only one who could save. And the provocation came at a number of points, but the big one was about a year after they left Egypt. They were at the border of the land that God had promised. Moses had sent in 12 spies. The 12 spies came back saying the great place is a great place, but 10 of them said, don't go in, they're big, they're scary, God can't take us in there, let's stay here in the desert or go back to Egypt where we were safe. They didn't believe God could do what he had promised them. He said, go in and take it, it's yours. But they resisted. They said, we've got a better plan. That's a bad plan. We'll choose our own plan. And they provoked the God who had saved them, who had brought them as a people to the very edge of the land of promise. And they said, no. And the writer of the Hebrews is saying, don't do that. Don't say no to the rest that God offers you in Christ. They did not believe that God could do what he promised. Their heart was not conformed to God's ways. They did not know God's ways. They did not love God's ways. And yet this was the church of God in the wilderness. So the message that the author of the Hebrews is bringing through this psalm is, you church people, you've heard of Christ. Don't harden your hearts. Because you see, in the story that the psalmist is bringing us, he said, look, for 40 years I was disgusted, says God, with that generation. They do not know my ways. They always go astray in their hearts. Therefore, I swore in my anger that if they should enter my rest. Very interesting little phrase there. If they should enter my rest. It's the first part of an oath. He says, I swore in my wrath or in my anger if they should enter my rest. And the implication is the second part, unstated, of that oath, if they should enter my rest, is something like, let me cease to be God. If these unbelieving people who go astray in their hearts, who don't love my ways, if any one of them ever gets to my rest, let me cease to be God. Can you think of the implications of that? The one who is eternal, who alone inhabits immortality, who gives life to all that have it. He cannot cease to be. That means if the Eternal One cannot cease to be, the unbelieving, provoking, those who go astray in their hearts will never enter his rest. God has put his entire being in the way of those who won't trust him or his Christ. They will never enter his rest. This is solemn stuff, but it's real. But the point is, the writer of the Hebrews is saying, don't go there. Don't harden your hearts. He says, the very next passage, he says, watch out, brothers, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and rebelling against the living God. But urge one another daily, while it is yet called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The writer of the Hebrews warns his readers against that evil heart of unbelief. He's not speaking to uninformed people. The people he's writing to are people who know the scriptures. He could reel off Old Testament passages. He could reel off Psalms, and they'd know them because they were in the church. But the warning is that with all that light, with the voice of Christ coming to you through the Old Testament scriptures, through the Psalms, do not harden your heart against this good news, thinking you could find some better way. In the Old Testament, the offer of rest was offered to the people of God, but with an evil unbelief, they refused it. They would not, and then could not, enter that rest. It was wholly on God's terms, his terms of grace. Believe me, and enter. But they refused. Now, when he speaks about an evil heart of unbelief, some people say, oh, unbelief is simply an intellectual disagreement. That can't be evil. But the word of God here is speaking about people who know the testimony regarding Christ. They know the evidence that has been presented to them, and yet they rejected that evidence. The hardening of the heart is in the face of evidence. In the Old Testament, in the story that the psalm recounts, we have Caleb and Joshua, the two witnesses who said, God can take us in. It's a good land. Believe God and enter. But they rejected the testimony of those two witnesses. They took the fear of the unbelieving spies and disbelieved with them. But with good evidence, they hardened their hearts. Again, in the days of the letter of Hebrews, when it was written, the apostles' writings were there. The apostles themselves, perhaps, were still around. And their testimony regarding the resurrection of Jesus from the dead was good evidence. They were risking their lives. They were undergoing privations, stonings, imprisonment. And yet they maintained that they'd seen Christ risen from the dead. That's good evidence. And if one should turn their back on a Christ who is raised from the dead for their salvation, that's an evil heart of unbelief. And again, in our day, we have the scriptures. We have the Old Testament scriptures. We have the New Testament scriptures. The same testimony that was true has come to us. If we as a church or as individuals reject that testimony, that is an evil heart of unbelief. But God doesn't want us to go that way. He's urging us to urge one another, to encourage one another daily. Do not harden your hearts when you hear his voice, but trust him. He's trustworthy. He has saved, trust him. Because as the psalm says, that if we have an evil heart of unbelief, God will put his entire being between us and his rest. Don't go there. trust the Lord Jesus, trust our God who saves. And then he goes on to speak about this. He says, for we had become sharers of Christ if we hold fast to the beginning of our confidence firm to the end, while it is still said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, rebelled, but not all who came out of Egypt by Moses. With whom was he disgusted 40 years? Was it not with those who provoked, whose bodies fell in the desert? To whom did he make an oath that they should not enter his rest? Was it not with those who did not believe? So we see that they were not able to enter due to unbelief. Our God has sent his Son into the world to live and to die and to rise for the salvation of sinners. He's made known his will for our salvation in the scriptures. We have nowhere else to go. As Peter said in Acts 4, there's no saviour like Jesus anywhere else in the world. And there's no one who saves like Jesus. We must trust this Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved, he said. And it's true. And the writer to the Hebrews says, we had become sharers if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm to the end. In other words, it's sort of like a test. It's sort of like a test. Have you become a sharer of Christ? If so, you will hold firm to Christ until the end. Because Christ is our confidence. We've got no other confidence before God except our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are sharers of Christ, then we are those who will hold fast to him until the end. See, humanity's sin, the big sin, is that hardening our heart against Christ. Now, there are murderers. There are all sorts of people who do sexual misdeeds. There are people who cheat and lie. There are people who are nasty to their parents or nasty to their children. But the unforgivable sin is hardening one's heart against the Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives sin. And this is what the writer of the Hebrews says. We have a promise of rest. Christ has promised rest, which is peace with God through his life and his death and his resurrection, that we can have fellowship with our God whom we've offended. We will have a good eternity with our God that we had offended, all because of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting, a little bit later in Hebrews, it talks about how, what's Psalm 95 talking about entering a rest all about? You see, Joshua, the son of Nun, in the Hebrews it says Jesus, because Joshua and Jesus are the same name in two different languages. So if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken at a later date about entering the rest. You see, it wasn't real estate that was really the rest for Israel. The real rest for Israel was the Christ who would be born there some 1,500 years later. So that's what Psalm 95 is all about, is saying that there is a rest yet to come. And he will be born in Bethlehem. He will die in Jerusalem and rise again. This is the rest of God's people. And it's to him we must come. Are we trusting the Christ? We have heard his voice in the scriptures. Are we hardening our hearts against that and saying, no, I've got a better plan. I've got one that will avoid the judgment of God one way or the other, but I'm not coming to Christ. That is a evil attitude. Don't have it. Please don't have that attitude. But come to Jesus Christ, who said himself, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my burden is easy, and my yoke is light." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that in no uncertain terms you warn us against hardening our hearts against the Lord Jesus Christ, your rest. We thank you, Father God, that you have such concern for sinners as to make this earnest plea, that we not go our own way and meet you in judgment, but that we will come to Christ, that we would love your way and know peace with you and a good eternity. We pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would encourage each one of us who is trusting Christ to keep on doing that. It's not a vain thing. It's a good thing, a thing of which you approve. We pray, Lord God, for those who might be here who are yet hardening their heart against the gospel. We pray that today they would hear your voice and that you would soften their hearts and that you will give them grace and faith to believe. We pray these things, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.